Welcome back to another episode of Swamp Donkey Radio. I'm super excited to talk some baseball today. I am your host, Lorenzo. Joining me? Is that the way to say that? Joining me, as always, producer Ronnie. Ronnie, how are you today?
I'm jointed with you. We're jointed.
I love that. We got some fun baseball to talk about today. Some big stories in the world of baseball. After a great start. We got Ohtani updates, the Orioles, Jackson Holliday debut, the Red Sox tanking, going full submarine mode, Montgomery switching agents, some MLB power rankings. It's going to be a good day. Is there a thought on your head right now, Ronnie, you want to get off before we get into the first inning?
When you mentioned Ohtani,
Ohtani?
What did I say?
Ohtani.
Ohtani?
You said Ohtani.
We're off to a roaring
it's
start.
It's a Friday morning.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you said that, I was just like, oh, God, I forgot about that for a little bit. And that's
dude, all right, let's get into it. You can start the first timer. If I go over 5 minutes, you can give me a ball. You guys know the rules. Four balls, and you don't want to see what happens. Ohtani and Ipe updates. I thought this story was kind of done with because baseball started happening. But we got the federal investigation news. Some big takeaways. Mizuhara stole more than $16 million from Ohtani over a two-year period to cover various gambling debts. He's now facing up to 30 years in prison. That's big boy numbers right there. $16 million, 30 years in prison. Ohtani said that he never granted Mizuhara access to his accounts, which is one of the big sticking points for a lot of people who were like conspiracy theorists on this, was how did he get access to accounts? Ohtani said he never did it, that the former interpreter reportedly hid his activity by allegedly telling Ohtani's financial advisors and accountants, none of whom spoke Japanese, that the baseball star wouldn't allow them direct access to his account. He also allegedly faked Ohtani's identity on phone calls with bank employees to authorize transfers, and both the phone number and email addresses on Ohtani's accounts were changed to ones tied to Mizuhara in 2021. That kind of answers all the questions I had on that. Was he faked it, that apparently Mizuhara was responsible for setting up Ohtani's accounts in the States because he didn't speak English at the time, and that was his job, and that he changed all the information on the accounts to his email address and his phone number, so Ohtani never got these notifications. The complaint states that between December 2021 and this January, Mizuhara allegedly placed approximately 19,000 wagers. That's a lot of bets, bro. 19,000?
That's addiction.
You want to know what? That's addiction.
It's just grade A addiction.
That's straight up gambling addiction. Losing bets. This is how much money he lost in bets. $182 million.
Generational losses.
Bro, that's generational wealth.
Yeah.
That's straight up just like Dansby Swanson's contract. He lost Dansby Swanson's contract.
He killed Dansby.
Oh, R.I.P. Dansby. Winning bets. $142 million.
We up.
we stay winning. Bro, that's so much money. I'm going to say it. That's too much gambling.
It's addiction.
That's a little too much gambling. I wonder what, it's probably out there about how much per bet that is. Isn't it like 12,000 per bet?
It was like 12K a bet.
So much per bet.
It's like, so much money. There, I said it.
Volpe's over-under on hits tonight. 12 grand. Let's let it ride. So total losses are nearly $40 million. The C's record also say do not reflect any bets on baseball games.
That's pretty funny. It's just like all this money and this amount of bets, none of them were baseball.
Yeah. He's like, he kind of had like an ounce of respect left. He was like, I'll steal from you. I'll steal $16 million from you. I will bet $180 million, but on baseball?
I may be a degenerate now, but I'm not an idiot.
The texts from Ipe are pretty crazy.
Oh my God.
He's like, hey, could you spot me another 200K? I'm really bad at this whole sports gambling thing. He's like, there's like something so honest about him, but also so like conniving, because he's like, I'm horrible at gambling. But I'll steal your money and do it.
Imagine doing all his bets. Like, damn, if only I can bet on baseball.
Bro, if I could just put the over on the Angels tonight, I know Shohei's having
I'd
a good
so
day.
Good.
I'd be the best ever. So that's kind of those updates. There's a ton of issues around this whole situation. I mean, the fact that it was $16 million, the fact that he's facing up to 30 years in prison. My big takeaway, and maybe I'm being naive or whatever, but I'm taking this as straight up Like, this is the story. Also, eBay didn't just steal money for gambling, but for multiple other leisure purchases, which is a funny sentence to me, including over $325,000 to buy baseball cards on eBay. I mean, he's an investor.
That's just straight business.
That's straight smart. That's big brain investing right Stocks. There. He got Otani's rookie card. So that's that's all you need to know.
He's ripping MLB the Show pack. Bought it on V-Bucks.
He got all the new skins. But I'm taking this as it is. I straight up think this dude just stole from Otani and gambled the money away. I don't think Otani had anything to do with it. A lot of people don't agree with me. A lot of people are saying that this can't happen. But I am, maybe I'm gullible. This is a pretty crazy story. This is a lot of money. And it's under federal investigation. He's facing up to 30 years in prison. So maybe even if he is a fall guy, and I don't believe it, I straight up believe this is a story he stole from Otani. Otani didn't have anything to do with this. If he is a fall guy, you got to be a really good fall guy to have all these texts going back to 2021 where you've been doing this stuff and then to face 30 years in prison. I don't care how much money you're getting. 30 years in prison is pretty brutal. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's kind of the story for me. Moving on to the second inning. Wait, did you have any other last take before we go over, Ronnie? Hey, I'm good, so I don't get a ball. That's 5 minutes on a topic, but this is for you. Do you have anything you want to add?
I would love for this story to kind of just like be concrete and just like be done.
Yeah, I'm over it. Yeah, it is funny.
It's hilarious.
This is It's sad.
The memes.
The memes are funny.
The Ipe quotes, like, it's all over for me. That's just a crazy sentence. It's not, to text some of the, to a bookmaker.
I do want to say it's sad because friend of his and like it's identity theft. Also, it's just another case of gambling addiction, which is a true issue a lot of people face. But the quotes are objectively funny. And I'm going to say that. I laugh. I like to laugh. It's all over for me. Moving on to the second inning. You can start the timer, Ronnie. Orioles. I want to talk about Jackson Holliday's debut. So he made his debut at Fenway Park. I watched every at-bat. He went 0 for 8. But the Orioles swept the Red Sox. So we'll do second inning on the Orioles, third inning on the Red Sox. Second inning, I was impressed. This is a great situation for Jackson Holliday to be in because he went 0 for 8. There were a couple balls that landed in the outfield. I don't think either, they were quote-unquote, like, they're both hits, but a lot of people, I mean, I tweeted out one of the videos, like, it went pretty well. A lot of people were talking about, like, the balls landed behind him. Neither of the balls were his fault, in my opinion. Loops over your head, both of the outfielders should have called him off and caught it, but he was just, you know, one of the most hyped prospects in baseball, number one prospect in baseball. It's funny how baseball always seems to find you and put you in those situations because those are two plays that he might not see for the rest of the season. And in his first two games, he got these crazy bloops over his head that he had to track down. I mean, the second one, he was in the right field grandstands at Fenway, and he was in the second baseman. So he ran all the way out there to track it down. And just because he's the closest guy, it looks like he made a mistake. But my takeaways from him early, I think he looks pretty solid defensively at second base. I liked what I saw there. His swing looks good, obviously. He went 0 for 8, but I mean, I feel like he was pretty nervous in his first couple games. But I think he's going to have an awesome weekend because they're playing the Brewers. So we get top two prospects in baseball, Jackson Holliday versus Jackson Chirillo, 1-2, and they are playing this weekend. So that's really exciting. There's Jackson off.
Bing.
And so that's going to be fun. So Orioles fans, you should be excited. I'm super excited to watch him. It was pretty concerning to me that he was hitting 9-hole for them. This Orioles team is crazy. I mean, just their last, I had it right here. I wrote it down somewhere. The notable first-round picks on the Orioles roster in their lineup and their rotation last night, Jackson Holliday, 2022. Colton Cowser, who, by the way, absolutely ruined my week, bro. All respect to you. You're great. But also, absolutely, like, fuck off, please.
Whoa, man.
Not to get mad or anything. Listening. Dude, he went, drove in 10 runs for the Orioles. He hit .458 with a 1.3 OPS in 24 at-bats. On the season.
Owns the Red Sox.
Dude, he killed us this weekend. 10 RBIs. He hit his first major league homer, and then he hit another one.
Should have drafted him.
Dude, we should have. I don't even know if we had a chance. But he absolutely murdered. So respect to you, but also, why did you have to do me like that? He ruined my day twice. Oh, he looks really promising. He was hitting 7-hole from them. So they have Holliday, Cowser. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Heston Kerstad. Kerstad. My apologies. He was their 2020 first round pick. Yeah. Jordan Westberg, who made his presence felt, big homer in game two of this season of series. Adley Rutschman and Grayson Rodriguez are all first round picks. Gunnar Henderson was a second round pick.
Oh, he was second?
I didn't know that. So nice pick by them. Yeah. So, I mean, Orioles fans, Jackson Holliday was hitting ninth, Gunnar Henderson leadoff, Adley two hole. I was like, what the hell's going on?
That's a middle of the lineup, but in a flip around.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, at some point this season, those guys are going to lock in and just be an absolute nightmare to play. I still think the Orioles are the best team in the AL, in my opinion, when fully right. I think there's so much upside with this team. Corbin Burnes also is nasty, yeah, and has been nasty in both his starts for the Orioles, so that's a great sign.
He's going to be pitching soon, right?
He pitched the first game of this series, so he should pitch the second game of their weekend series against the Brewers. Hey! Against the Brewers. I just realized Corbin Burnes against the Brewers. Yeah. Vengeance game. 8 innings, 1 hit. Book it.
Oh, my God.
He's about to go crazy on him. So, I mean, the Orioles, young talent, and lineup depth is just stupid. They're great defensively. Super fun to watch. I'm scared that the Red Sox are in the same division as them for the next 5 years. That's going to suck. So, sad. Moving on to our third inning, Ronnie. Red Sox. Sad. I'm sad. I mean, they went on their West Coast trip. Sorry, I had a little coffee there. They went on their West Coast trip, and they looked good, 7-3. Then they come home. Now, the thing about their West Coast trip is the talent they played wasn't that great. They played the Angels. They played the A's. And all I ask is beat the bad teams, go 500 against the good teams. And they had two chances to win baseball games. The first game, fine. You're facing Corbin Burnes. The Orioles are a better team than you. You are going to lose when their ace is on the mound. I'm fine with that, man. But then game two, 5-0 lead. They blow it, and it's not even that they blew the lead. It's just the way they were playing was so errors, mistakes on the bases. Game one, Jaron Duran dropped a fly ball in left field, and he's been so good. So, like, I really like Jaron Duran's on the field. I think he's been playing really well. I like his style. He's been hitting. He steals bases. He plays good defense. So I'm not even going to hold that against him, man. It happens. There was some post-game quotes about how he was so upset with himself. That's fine, man. It happens. You weren't winning that game anyways. Game two, just wild pitches. There was one inning where it was like error, free wild pitches and passed balls, hit by pitches. It was horrible. They blow a 5-0 lead. Chris Martin, who's been one of our best relievers, just was not, he didn't have it that day. And then they have another 2-1 lead in game three. And since Trevor Story's out, we have a replacement shortstop who misses the bag on a double play. And I think they made 5 errors in the series against the Orioles. At home in your opening series, and you get swept at Fenway Park. You just needed to win one of these games, man.
Just one.
I don't care if you lose the series to the Orioles. They're better than you. But the way we lost it, it was embarrassing, and it was super upsetting because I was like, I believe in this team, and I love the Red Sox, and I want them to be good, and I care so much, and I watch every single game, and watching them just play like, it wasn't like major league. We looked like the A's for the week. Like, that's what we were playing like. It was just mistake after mistake. And, like, I like Connor Wong a lot, but he was our second baseman in extra innings. He's a catcher. It was like, what the heck's happening here? And Rafi Devers is dealing with a shoulder injury. He started out the season, first game in Seattle. He had a homer and a double. Then he hurt his shoulder. He took a game off in Seattle. Since then, he's, like, hitting, like, 150 since then. So they gave him a day off yesterday. Hopefully that's not a shoulder injury that lasts too long, because when Rafi Devers is out of this lineup, man,
yeah,
it's not a deep lineup. There's a lot of concerns, and I'm a little worried about Pivetta. He's dealing with a little bit of an injury, and the injury playground baseball seems to be making its way to the Red Sox, and I'm a little worried about Yoshida. I really like Yoshida. I think he'll figure it out, but he's off to a slow start to the season, and he's a guy that kind of needs to be like a dude for the Red Sox. Trevor Story and Yoshida are the only guys we've really given money to bring in since Devers. I mean, we brought in Yoshida and Story, and they were supposed to be kind of our 4 or 5 hitters this season and produce. And so far in 45 at-bats for Yoshida, he has a 567 OPS.
Yikes.
So it's not great. No power so far. I'm hoping he's able to get it around. He struggled at the second half of last season, too, so that's the only reason I'm a little worried by this, because it seems like Major League Pitching has made an adjustment to him, and I'm not really seeing him make an adjustment back. So I kind of need to see him get it going. And the most concerning part for me is this is all with Tyler O'Neill being, like, the best player in baseball offensively. So with Devers out, you got to expect O'Neill to come down to earth. I need to see some some life around it. I'll give a little positives. The Red Sox starters continue to be awesome. Cutter Crawford and Garrett Whitlock were both pretty good in their starts. I mean, Cutter Crawford went 5 scoreless, even though we walked a ton of guys. Garrett Whitlock only gave up 1 run. So there are promises there. But, I mean, holy, dude, it was not a fun watch. I'm so sad right now. The juxtaposition of the Orioles and all these young guys just balling out, comeback after comeback. And then the Red Sox, I was like, what's going on, man?
It's still early,
but I'm going to react to the Red Sox game like it means the world every time. So, big series coming up against the Angels at home. Let's win the series. I'll come back and beat the bad teams. That's all I ask. Beat the bad teams. We'll get to Trout in a minute. Actually, you want to know what? I had him as our 5th inning, but let's boost him up to the 4th inning right now because he just dropped a Mike Trout. So moving on to our 4th inning, speaking of Mike Trout, who's making his way into Fenway Park, how about 6 home runs to start the season off?
League leading?
He's tied for the league, I believe. Let me take a look real quick. I believe he's tied, but he has 6 homers to start the season. He's hitting .318 with a .400 on-base percentage and a 1.195 OPS. Kind of a big year for Trout. Which is weird to say because the Angels are going to be bad, but he's kind of had some injuries. But when he's healthy the past few years, he's been doing the same thing he's been doing now. He's just been putting up crazy numbers. But I feel like in terms of baseball fans thinking Mike Trout is the best player in baseball, which was kind of not a discussion for like a good 5 years. It was like, oh, Mike Trout's the guy. He might be having a season. If he puts a season together like he's had in the past and stays healthy, we're going to be talking about him like he's the best player in baseball again because he has that in his bag. So I'm rooting for Trout to continue to put up great numbers. It stinks that it's going to be on a bad Angels team. But you want to know what I have to convince myself, Ronnie? He can only be the MVP when it's like this. Because when Shohei was there, it was too much about Shohei. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, Shohei is the center of attention. Yeah. Now that Trout's the center of attention on New York Angels again, he's just going to go crazy. So I'm rooting for it, and I'm really rooting for Harper to win NL MVP, Trout to win AL MVP, and to kind of be like a beautiful full circle. Because I've had them connected in my mind their entire career. You have to. So rooting, and they both dealt with injuries last year. Did he have Tommy John officially?
Yes, he did.
So Harper had Tommy John, and then Trout dealt with some back injuries that have been flaring up for him for a few years now. So seeing them both win MVP would just be such a fun story to see. And then Trout gets traded to Philly. And it's just magical.
He's tied for first with Tyler O'Neill.
With
6.
That's what we like. Tyler O'Neill. You're my favorite guy ever right now. I told you, Red Sox, 1 year right fielders, man. April is their month.
They mash for April.
April, they put up insane numbers. So I'm rooting for Trout. Even looking at his numbers last year, dude. He only played 82 games.
That's the thing. It's games played with Trout. If he has the games, then he's good.
Last year, he only played 82 games, 18 homers, 44 RBIs. That was probably his worst season in a while because of the games. With an .858 OPS. But 2022, he played 120 games. He hit 40 homers in 120 games and had a 1. OPS. That's crazy. So, rooting for Trout. Hope you have a comeback year. I hope you suck this weekend against the Red Sox. But after that, just go crazy. Or just have a good weekend but lose every game. That's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to our 4th inning. I don't know if you saw this, Ronnie, but Jordan Montgomery switching agents.
Now, I did see that.
This is kind of a big story, yeah. I feel like. Yeah. If this happened a couple weeks ago, I feel like it would have been the number one story in baseball. But since it happened in the full swing of games, I feel like people might miss it a little bit. But Jordan Montgomery was a free agent this offseason, World Series winning pitcher. He leaves Scott Boras, probably the most popular agent in baseball. Most successful agent in baseball the last few years. He leaves Scott Boras to go to a different agency ahead of his next upcoming free agency. Now, he only got a 1-year contract with the Diamondbacks, correct? Was it 2 years or 1 year?
1 year.
1 year. Was there an? I think it was an option for a second year. But
maybe.
1-year contract for the Diamondbacks, which is not what he was expecting. A lot of people were projecting a 5-year contract for him. So he leaves Scott Boras, and the reason this is interesting to me is because this kind of signals that everyone who was saying, hey, Scott Boras is having a bad offseason was correct. Because clearly Jordan Montgomery was like, hey, I think I deserved way more than I got this free agency. I'm going to go find a better agent who can help me out. What's also interesting about this, Scott Boras, here are some free agents that he has this upcoming year. Juan Soto.
Bing.
Pete Alonso. Alex Bregman. Potentially Blake Snell again. So there's some guys and a lot more.
Not Jordan Montgomery.
Not Jordan Montgomery. Matt Chapman, again, could be a free agent. So there's some, but Soto, Alonzo, Bregman are kind of the free-headed horse that I would like to see. Say, and that's like, are one of them going to leave? And if they do, that kind of changes the landscape of like baseball free agency, because you got to be worried if you're, say you're Bregman and you don't want to go back to the Astros, or you do want to go back to the Astros, but you want to get more money. How focused is he going to be on Bregman when he's got Juan Soto, who could be like a $700 million player?
Yeah.
Like, how is he going to get, how are they going to balance that? I think we saw this a lot with Montgomery this offseason. It felt like he was the last person who got any attention, any news around him. When he had a lot of teams should have been interested in him. He's really good. So I'm interested to see how that affects this upcoming offseason. But, I mean, if you're Jordan Montgomery, you got to be upset. Because I feel like he's the guy that I haven't even heard about in this season.
He hasn't pitched.
He hasn't pitched yet?
I don't think so.
Has he? I don't think he has.
No, because he had to get worked up to come back. No,
I'd be so annoyed if I were Montgomery. He hasn't pitched yet this season. He didn't get a good contract this offseason. And now he's got to go back into free agency. He has to ball out again this year in hopes of getting what he deserved last year. And now I wonder if there really was collusion by the owners against Boris. Like, hey, don't give this guy any money. But I'd be upset if I were Montgomery. So I'm rooting for him to have a great year. It is interesting to note. So let's keep an eye on Alonzo, Soto, Bregman. Maybe some of the smaller guys are the guys we should probably keep a bigger eye on.
Yeah.
Because they're like Montgomery's are probably the ones who get hurt the most by all these big free agents.
I would love if Soto left Boris.
I think Soto's the only one who won't.
No.
Because he's like the number one center of attention. And also, yeah. I don't care what MLB owner you are and how much you dislike Scott Boris. If Juan Soto's interested in your team, you're going to give him all the money he wants.
Yeah.
So it's probably more guys like the smaller guys that you got to watch out for. Moving on to our next inning. MLB Power Ranking has come out. And I want to just go through it 1 through 10 and then see if we agree.
Okay.
Or what team we think shouldn't be on here or team should. And number 10, they got the Guardians.
Yeah.
They've been balling out.
Have they? Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about them a little bit later. So I'm fine with them being a top 10 team. They're 9-3. On the season.
Oh, it's not bad at all.
Yeah. And, you know, they got a big series coming up against your Yankees.
Yes, they do.
So, two best records in the AL. Guardians, Yankees. So, how about that?
ALCS preview.
Number 9, the Red Sox. I'm going to just say X.
They're top 10.
Yeah, I'm going to put an X on that one. That's not.
I don't.
That was that's no. Number 8, the Cubs.
Okay.
Okay. Cubs have been playing well. Number 7, the Astros. They just got swept.
Yeah, haven't been playing well either.
By another team we're going to talk about, the Kansas City Royals.
They
just got swept. Number 6, the Phillies. They've been playing okay, but we'll keep them here. Number 5, the Rangers. Number 4, the Orioles. Number 3, the Yankees.
Bing.
Number 2, the Braves. Number 1, the Dodgers. Now, the Braves just lost a series to the Mets. I'm a little worried about the Braves.
Yeah?
Just like mini. Like so small worried. I think the Strider injury is like, obviously, it's a big deal. I think it's an even bigger deal than I initially thought, just in the sense that the Braves are going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be one of the best teams in baseball. But I was digging into more of Spencer Strider, and the guaranteed 6-7 innings he was going to give them every 5 days, kind of a big deal. And he is maybe one of the more irreplaceable pitchers in baseball at this moment, just because of how electric his strikeout stuff is and how much of a guarantee he is at the front of your rotation. They just lost a series to the Mets. In Atlanta. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Baseball's a long season. You're going to lose series, etc. It just made me realize how important he was for that rotation. Like when Strider's in there, it's like, wow, this team is like borderline unbeatable. And their lineup is so good. They lead the league in runs scored, runs per game. But it's just like, oh, it's a bigger deal than I initially thought. I really like watching Strider. But Astros and Red Sox. Astros are worrisome to me a little bit to start the season.
Yeah.
Again, it's a long season, so you can't really take too much information out of these.
Back.
But they started 4-10. I mean, that's a bad start, dude. A bad month can make it really, really hard, especially in a division that I think is going to be pretty good with the Rangers and the Mariners. And, I mean, the Angels, Trout could win a game or two. I mean, I'm just reaching for straws
yes,
there.
Yeah.
But the Astros, 4-10 starts, that's not good. That's like, almost, if they lose this series this weekend against the Rangers, be worried. Be a little worried. Framber, injury. Yeah. Another pitcher, Bites the Dust. Play another one, Bites the Dust, right here, if it wasn't copyright. He also is dealing with elbow issues. So it's just like small, small worried. And this is all happening with Yordan Alvarez just being insane and hitting like crazy. But their bullpen just continues to struggle. I mean, they're behind Oakland in the AL West right now.
Oakland's above them?
Yeah. AL West standings. They're fifth in the AL. I believe they're tied.
April's wild, huh?
Oakland's 5-8. The Mariners are 5-8. The Astros are 4-10.
I mean, they've gotten swept twice already.
Gotten swept twice.
And one of them was a four-game sweep.
And then they got swept by the Royals. So, I don't know, man. It's just small concern. I still think they're going to be a good team, but it is a little worrisome if you're an Astros fan. If you're an Astros fan, comment below. How worried are you on a scale of 1 to 7? Let me know.
Were the Royals in the top 10?
They weren't in the top 10.
Okay.
So, let's move on to our next segment and talk about why I think some of these teams should be in the top 10 and some teams who deserve some love. Let's talk about the Kansas City Royals. They are 9-4, third best record in the AL. You said you're ready to become a Royals fan, Ronnie.
Yes, they start with an R.
Is that the only, what's the word I'm looking for? Prerequisite to become a fan of?
No.
Okay, what's the other one?
Love Bobby Witt.
Hey, that's a good one.
Love Bobby Witt. I mean, their vibes,
I love the vibes.
They're kind of giving me last year's Diamondbacks vibes just a little bit. Or, like, I also kind of see them as very fun, like the Orioles. They're just very young and, like, but, I mean, I have to see it for the full season.
Hey, them and the Pirates are the team I'm most biased for. So, let's go Royals. They are 9-4. I might buy a Royals hat. Why not?
I might buy a Bobby Witt jersey.
That's a good jersey. I don't buy a ton of jerseys because I just don't find a great time to wear them a lot. But I'm a big hat guy, so I need a new Royals hat. They have won 7 in a row. That's hard to do. They swept the Astros, which, again, I think are going to be a good team. The stat that impresses me the most, the Royals starters have a 1.96 ERA and have averaged the most innings per start in Major League Baseball. That's a really, really good sign. There's some other teams, and the next team we'll talk about, who have had the opposite effect, and they're the reason I'm worried about them. But the Royals, I mean, if you're getting good 5-6 innings every single day out of your starters, that's a great recipe to win in the 162-game season.
Who's their number one?
I'm not quite sure. Let me go to Royals.
Is
right
Brady
now.
Singer a Royals pitcher?
He was.
Okay.
He still might be. I'm going to be honest. I haven't gotten to watch a ton of the Royals game, which is why we're doing this segment right now. So let's dig into the Royals and their rotation and why they've been so good. Because this weekend, I've made a note that it is most important for me to watch the Royals play. Brady Singer is a Royals pitcher.
Let's go. I know ball.
You do know ball. And he's off to an absolutely fantastic start. 18.1 inning. Guess his ERA.
1.2.
0.98. So have a day, Brady Singer. 18 strikeouts, 4 walks. He's been balling out. I mean, so how about that? 27. All right, Brady Singer, you're in my book now. Royals have been off to a great start. Royals fans, let us know what else we should dig into on the Royals, because I got to learn more about this team. If they're going to be this good, they got to be on my radar, you know?
You know who I love on the Royals?
Who?
Melendez.
MJ Melendez?
Dude, he's awesome.
He is. He's an MLB The Show legend.
I love him.
There's a lot of guys on this Royals team to like. So, hey, how about that? Keep us informed, Royals fans. We'll dig more into you as we go on. The Guardians are 9-3, like we mentioned. They're about to host a series for the Yankees against the Yankees, which I think is probably the most much-watched series for me this weekend because I want to see how real these Guardians are. I am a little concerned with 46.1 innings combined from 10 non-Bieber starts. So in 10 non-Shane Bieber starts, starters have pitched 46.1 innings combined. The Guardians are only getting about 4.2 innings on average from their starters. Opposite of the Royals. I think the Royals might be a little sustainable. Little. They were bad last year, so I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. It's only 9-4. We'll keep seeing.
It's like a rapper that loves the environment, Lil Sustainable.
That's a good rapper's name.
Yeah.
Pro environment, little sustainable. But 4.2 innings on from your starters every day, it's a long season. That's not good. So especially with Bieber getting Tommy John and out for the whole year, and he was off to a great start, that's a little worrisome for the Guardians. So we're going to get to see the Guardians play a really good Yankees lineup this weekend. What I am excited for about the Guardians is I didn't know you were like this. Fifth in MLB in runs per game to start the season at 5.75. Really good lineup. I didn't know they could hit like that. That's not Guardians ball. It's usually the opposite. But we're going to see this weekend against the Yankees. They go to Cleveland, and they have to face them. So Two teams who have off to great starts in the American League. Two teams I didn't expect to be off to great starts in the American League. Let's see which one of them can stick around for the rest of April.
Two central teams.
Moving on to the eighth inning, which let's do a weekend preview on it because we're both going to watch a lot of baseball this weekend.
Yep.
So let's see which games we should be watching. Now, I haven't gotten to watch a ton of these teams, so I'm making it a focus of mine to watch the Padres play the Dodgers because I haven't watched a ton of Padres baseball yet. Fernando Tatis went crazy in an 8-0 comeback against the Cubs. Oh, and, yeah. I mean, the propaganda was I was ready to be all in on Tatis again, dude. And I am all in on Tatis. I just need to see it, you know? Because last year, offensively, he was down. So I just need to see it for a full year. But it's going to be a point for me to watch the Padres play the Dodgers. Yamamoto is starting this weekend. I want to see the Padres win a series against the Dodgers. I'd like to see that.
Me too.
You know, it would move the needle a lot for me. If the Padres lose to the Dodgers, I don't think it moves the needle at all.
No.
But if they're able to take 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers this weekend, that's gonna tell me something. And I'm going to make sure I watch because I haven't gotten to watch a ton of them. They had an electric series against the Cubs. Let's see how that goes down.
Are these games like on big primetime, like,
slots? Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, they have to be, right?
Is it like Fox on Saturday?
You know? I'm seeing 10-10, 9-10. Sunday Night Baseball.
Sunday Night Baseball. That's gonna
there
be
we good. Go. So that's going to be the big one.
Okay.
Padres-Dodgers Sunday Night Baseball. So let's keep an eye on that. And I'm interested to see how Otani balls out this weekend with all this news with Ipe coming out again. Let's see if that affects him at all. Rangers-Astros. This is circled on my calendar. I'm keeping an eye on this. They just played a 4-game set. I believe they split the series, if I'm correct. Rangers-Astros. They last time they played. They were Sunday Night Baseball last weekend. I kind of need to see the Astros win this series. Rangers are 7-6. Astros are 4-10. I would like to see the Astros make a statement, go take 2 out of 3 against the Rangers. Pretty big for me. So keep an eye on that. I've watched a lot of Astros baseball, and Rangers baseball, but I mean, if the Astros get swept or lose 2 out of 3 again, I'm going to be a little concerned, especially because, you know, these head-to-head matchups are going to matter, especially if the Astros get off to a slow start. The head-to-head against the Rangers is going to be really, really important. So that's a series I'm really excited to watch. Yankees, Guardians, I have circled as well. How you feeling about your Yanks real quick, Ronnie?
They're hot. I like it. They're good.
They are good.
Soto is raking.
He's off to a really, really, really good start. So that's exciting to see.
And so is Stanton. Stanton's.
Yeah, how about that?
We didn't expect that from him.
I didn't have that on my calendar, that Stanton was going to be balling out. Brewers-Orioles is the last series that I'm really excited to watch. You're going to get the Jacksons facing each other. Corbin Burns versus Milwaukee. I think that's really cool. The schedule change of every team playing every team is the best thing baseball has done in a while because we don't have to wait 4 years for the Burns return to or versus the Brewers. So that's awesome. You had something to say, Ronnie?
Yeah, Yelich is on fire.
He is on fire. You want to know another series that I think should get a little attention this weekend? Sure. If you're a diehard baseball fan and you're just going to be absorbing a lot of baseball like I'm going to be, I'm going to focus a little bit on the Cubs and the Mariners because Cubs are off to a 7-5 start. Mariners off to 5-8. And I have some stock in the Mariners, and I want to see them win a series against the Cubs this weekend because I really believe in this team. Their offense has struggled. I need to see something special from them because my bias is locked in on them. You know what I mean? So I need to see something there. Is there any series that has stood out to you this weekend that you're excited to watch?
I think the Yankees Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, bias. I mean, I will be watching the Red Sox and the Angels as well. Let's move on to our last segment of the day. Let's go around the antlers. First question: who would win in a 1v1 blitzball game? You or Ronnie? We've played.
Do you remember that walk-off grand slam I hit off?
Ronnie did hit a walk-off grand slam off me once. It was an absolute moonshot.
Yeah.
Hey, I would say we'll play 10 games. We'll go 5-5.
Yeah. It's tough because you...
neither of us can pitch.
You make a living.
That's true. I should beat you.
You should beat me, but also...
But I don't.
But, we should... You know, next time we're in the warehouse.
We'll settle it.
No, we'll settle it.
The thing is, I can't pitch. So
neither can I.
So it's a battle of walks and homers.
Yep.
Who is going to win Cy Young this year of all of these injuries? And should a pitcher pitching 200 innings matter more, even if they have a higher ERA because of all the injuries? I love this question. It's a great one. I think it should because we're seeing all these stud pitchers get hurt. For a guy like Logan Webb, who just throws 200 innings, even if you have a bit of a higher ERA, I think we have to start taking that into account. Like, availability is the most important ability. So if you're going to be available, even if your ERA is a little higher than someone who's throwing like 160 innings, but you're pitching 205 innings every single year. I don't know. I feel like that should matter a lot more.
But then, isn't that also concerning next year? It's like, oh, is next year going to be the year when my elbow hurts?
True. But for if Logan Webb goes 200 innings this year and say he has a free 5-year, right? And then let's say Glasnow, who's off to an awesome start. He looks disgusting in LA. Let's say he goes 140 innings this year but has a 2.11 ERA. So I guess I think 60 innings should make a difference a little bit. I'm not sure which way I'd vote on that. Probably Glasnow. But if you go 200 innings, I do think as baseball continues to go on and starters become more and more important and injuries continue to be as prevalent as they are, if you're a guy who pitches 200 innings every year or 180 innings, I think that should matter. So good question.
Yeah.
I do think it should matter.
Who's winning then?
That's a great question. What's Zach Wheeler looking like? I think Zach Wheeler is one of my pick for Burns. NL. I mean, Burns is a great one. Burns might be a lock if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, Zach Wheeler is an inning eater, dude. He went 192 last year, 213 in 2021, only 150 in 2022, but he's off to a good start. So he's a pick. If this were to come down to say Zach Wheeler goes 200 innings and has a free 2 ERA,
he's winning.
I'd vote for him.
Yeah.
So let's keep an eye on Zach Wheeler. Which team has the best sex appeal in baseball? But I changed that because that's a kind of a weird question for me to answer. So which team has the best aura in MLB?
It's a good pivot. Best aura?
Let's say which team has the best vibes?
Okay.
I'm a little jealous of them.
I have the answer.
What is it?
It's pretty obvious.
Baltimore?
Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah. That's the chalk answer.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, who has the best vibes? It's a tough one.
Like aura? Like if you're talking about aura, I think of this year's OKC Thunder.
Yeah, they got aura.
They have aura.
They got aura.
And that is the Orioles.
That is true. I mean, is there anyone else I could pick that matches them?
I mean, last year's Padres.
You're right. It's the Orioles. I tried to pick a quirky answer, I got nothing.
If I give it 2 more seconds of thought.
Dude, I'm looking, and there's no one close in terms of just, like, vibes. Braves have good vibes. They're too good.
They're too good. You can't.
They already won a World Series.
You can't be like, oh, Dodgers.
Yeah, no. I mean, that doesn't count. If you've won, your aura kind of.
If the Royals keep winning.
Royals, yeah, a little bit. But I don't know. They need to become a little bit more, like, mainstream.
Yeah, like if Bobby Witt.
Bobby Witt's the guy. But I need, like, 2 more guys to become, again, Royal fans. Let us know.
Melendez.
Ooh, Melendez. But we need, like, the Orioles got, like, 10 dudes now who you're like, oh, my God.
It's the Orioles.
It's the Orioles. When they finally go to an automated strike zone, will they go no umpire or leave him behind the plate? How do you think that's going to look? I've thought about this before. At first, I thought they go no umpire.
No.
But I think the way they do it is you just keep the umpire, give him an earpiece, and then he just hears ball or strike, and he still makes the call. But he's not actually making the call. But he's still the human just like giving a signal.
He's merely a vessel.
He's merely a vessel. Aren't we all merely vessels?
We are.
At the end of the day?
This game called life. But I think, no, they're definitely going to have.
You got to leave him back there.
Yeah, you need them.
But they should give him a chair since it doesn't really matter that he's squatting anymore.
No, they should. Might as well give the catcher a chair.
Yeah, the guy's poor his knees. Give him a Home Depot bucket. We'll call it even,
yeah,
all right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that wraps up this episode of Swamp Talkie Radio. Thank you for viewing, listening, and subscribing. If you're not subscribed, make sure you do. Leave a rating on Spotify and Apple, and we will see you next week. Thank you.